given, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting. And he talks about in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy. And this is written to Christians. And you see the word brethren mentioned a number of times throughout this book. And it's important to note when you read a scripture passage or a book, who is writing and who it's being addressed to, those that are saved or lost. And that's very important so you don't get misunderstood on the doctrine of what is being taught. And as he writes to the church, James and the Word of God in this book is very direct, very harsh, if you will, on the teaching, on the letter that was written here. And as we go through this, we just went through chapter 3 again. It's been a few weeks now, talking about the words, talking about our tongue, our speech, and how important that is. One of the key words from James is from chapter 1, verse 22. And it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And this book is really teaching to be a real Christian, to have a real faith. Isn't that what we should desire to have? To be real, to not be fake, not be hypocritical, not doing it for the wrong reasons for the Lord, not just for look, but from the heart. And that's truly what our faith should be, that it should be real. And when you get saved, God wants to change your life. Amen? He wants to change your life. He changes your eternity to where you were on your way to hell, now to heaven. And the Bible says you're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, things should change. But guess what? They should keep changing. We should continue to be more like Christ every day, not to the point where we say, well, God, I'm not changing anymore. I've arrived. I've achieved. I am the perfect Christian. No one's gotten there yet. So this area is to grow as a Christian. Talks about having wisdom. It talks about our works. Talks about our words throughout this book. And now we're going to look in chapter 4, verse number 1 through 5. And it's going to talk about worldliness here. Worldliness from chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. The Bible says here, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And the Word of God here, it starts out and it's talking about from whence come wars and fightings among you. Have you ever seen Christians fight with each other before? I mean, that only the world does that, right? We never see that in church, among Christians and families. Guess what? If you haven't noticed, we're not perfect. We don't have a perfect church, and we have sinners in the church, and so we have the things that the flesh brings about in the church as well as is in the world. And as James challenges them, he asks, from whence or where are coming these wars and fightings among you? He's hearing about things going on in the church and said, where is this coming from? And we're going to look through a number of topics here this evening, but what he's challenging and correcting is worldliness in the church. You ever notice how the world is continually trying to pound its way into the church, into our homes, and into our lives? The world is constantly being pushed upon us to change and to be more like the world. And we have to constantly, as Christians, as a church, as individuals, to fight to separate from the world. And there's a few areas we'll look at this evening. But the world is constantly, again, trying to creep into the church. The spirit of the world, the attitude of the world, the appearance of the world, it continually tries to push into our churches. There's many churches today, you could go into them and it doesn't even look much like a church anymore. It looks more like a concert, like a club. It looks like just a hangout joint for people to come to. It doesn't even look like a church anymore. Why? Because instead of the church being separate from the world, modern-day churches are trying to be more like the world. Why? Because they want to attract the younger generation. But the problem is, what are you attracting them to? Not with the Word of God, not with the gospel. We're trying to lower our standards to what the world is like. And many churches are changing their beliefs to be more like the world. It's incredible when you hear about churches, Christians, that say that they're Christians, but they have the beliefs and the look and the actions just like the world does. Guess what? We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be different from the world, right? We should look different. We should act different. We should sound different than the world. Why? Because we're saved. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, set apart for the Lord. And as we look at this passage, we're going to look at that there is worldliness. The world's influence has been creeping into the church and into our lives. And guess what? It was back then, and it is today. So we're going to look at three areas tonight about worldliness in the church or in our lives that we must work at keeping out. And the first tonight, how does the world creep into our lives? First one is this, that we're fighting the wrong fight. They were fighting the wrong fight. In verse number one, again, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war on your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Look at the terms that is used here about Christians. There's fighting, there's war, there's killing, the Bible says. Those are pretty harsh words used against people in the church. Wars are referring to battles. The killing or the fighting here is referring to fighting and strife. And James, the book of James is talking about, is hearing about fighting and battles amongst people in the church. We must remember this, that our battle is not here. The battle is out in the world. Right? The battle's out in the world. We have an enemy. We have an enemy, and that is Satan. But too many times, we get to fighting the wrong fights, don't we? We get distracted from the purpose of what the church is, what each Christian is, and we start fighting the wrong fights. And we start, instead of battling the devil and the world, we start battling amongst ourselves and fighting amongst other Christians. Now, I will say this, that there is a fight for truth. There is a fight for right, not to change, not to give in, but our fight is with the world. James chapter 3 and verse number 17, if you look there, look at how James chapter 3 ends. In verse 17, it says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It continues on with the list there, but the wisdom is peaceable. In verse number 18, it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So chapter 3, it ends with peace, and then all of a sudden it got to fighting. Have you ever have you ever thought, it's really peaceful right now. I wonder what the kids are doing back there. You know, we're not having any problems right now. Everything is going good, and it's almost like the calm before the storm and the peace before the fightings, and there sometimes seems to be those times. None of these are fighting the correct fight. It says wars and fightings among you, and it says it comes from your lust. We'll look at that more in the next point. Instead of fighting the spiritual battle with the devil, there's fighting amongst God's people, amongst fellow Christians, instead of fighting the real fight. In James chapter 1, if you turn back to verse number 13, James chapter 1 and verse number 13. There's a couple of topics that are referenced several times in the book of James. Here's one of those. James 1:13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The devil would love to get our focus off from the fight that we should be fighting, with fighting the world, fighting sin, fighting the flesh, to fighting each other, to fighting the wrong battles, to get our focus off from the enemy. So what should we do? So you ever had that problem with someone before? You ever had any fights, arguments, And to be honest, sometimes the fights that we battle with others that become issues, many times it's not the big things, it's the little things that can seem to build up in our homes, in our churches, in our families. So what do we do to avoid fighting the wrong fight? Number one is this: learn and practice forgiveness. That one thing that you can't let go of, guess what you need to apply to that? Forgiveness. That person that you just seem to have that issue with, that just seems to push your buttons the wrong way, we have to practice and learn forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those principles that we are going to have to learn and practice all through our lives. Because why? People are going to give us reasons to forgive. But guess what? You're going to give other people reasons to forgive as well. You think, man, it's just that person. Well, you ever thought about that? You're like, I wonder if they have an issue with me. I wonder if I've ever done anything to wrong them. In our lives, if we're going to not focus and fight the wrong battles, we're going to have to learn and practice forgiveness. How do we stay from fighting the wrong fight? Stay out of it. Right? Stay out of it. I was thinking of a verse in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. It says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him, it is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." You get a dog that's angry, you get a couple dogs that are fighting, don't get in the middle of them. Why? What's going to happen? You're about to get bit as well. You're going to get right in the middle of that strife. There's some people that are just looking to get in the middle of strife, and eventually you're going to get in the middle of that dog fight, and you're going to get bit as well. Let's make sure that we have the fight the right direction. Our fight is the devil, right? Our fight is the devil, and standing on the Word of God for truth. As a church, the devil would love nothing more than for a church to internalize and to fight with each other about the little things that aren't the difference. Again, fighting for the truth, for your convictions, your beliefs, yes. But fighting for the small things, the fightings and wars among you, may they not be said about us. So there was worldliness in the church. Why? Because they were fighting the wrong fight. Number two, because they were losing the battle with the flesh. As you look in verse number one, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Saying this, where is this coming from? You ever have two kids come to you, your children, your grandchildren, maybe in school, and the fight happens, and you go, "Well, what happened?" And they both start yelling, "Well, this happened, and she did, and he did." And you're like, "Whoa, where did this start? Where did this come from?" And you've got to be the investigator, you know, break them up, what's going on. And the book of James here is saying, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Guess what? The fruit was the fighting, but there was a root cause for where that sin was coming from. You know, when there's sin in our life, that's always the fruit of a root cause. At our house, at some point, there was an oak tree taken out in our backyard. We didn't kill that one. We killed other ones. Anyway, but there was an oak tree that was taken out at some point. And I know that because where the oak tree stump was and not taken out completely, there's now like an oak tree bush growing up from where it was. Why? Because someone chopped down the tree all the way down and even below the surface. But there's a root down there. And that oak is going to continually grow up. And what can I do? I can go out there and chop all those oak branches, little trees coming up, chop them down. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to keep coming up. Why? Because the root was not dealt with. And you know, when we have issues in our lives and we have sin, when our flesh starts taking over, God is saying, where's it coming from? And it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And then it answers, and then it says again, come they not hence even of your lusts, which war in your members? Your lust is your flesh. It says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have. At the end of verse number 3, it says, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Your lust and my lust are this: it's a sinful desire or pleasure. A sinful desire or pleasure. Guess what? For the remainder of your life, for the completion of your whole life, you're going to have to battle that flesh. Something you'll carry around with you every day is your flesh. That lustful, sinful nature that, guess what, does not want to do right. Your sinful nature that does not want to go to church, does not want to read your Bible, does not want to stay faithful, does not want to love God. That sinful nature wants to do wrong. That sinful nature is battling the Spirit, is battling against God. Where is the fighting coming from? It's coming from the flesh. You ever lost the battle with the flesh? Right? You lost that battle, and you're like, I shouldn't say it, I shouldn't say it, I shouldn't say it, and then, boom, it comes out. You're like, man, I shouldn't have said it. The anger starts, you know, you kind of like that pot that's boiling, and you're turning more red, and you're like, don't do it, don't do it, and then you just lose it. That thought in your mind, you think, I know I shouldn't do it, Lord, and you try to battle that flesh, but you lose that battle. Why, how do we let worldliness creep in when you lose the battle with the flesh? Just like that tree where you try to cut the tree down, you go to get that weed, you go to pull the weeds, and what do? You pull the weed and it snaps off. And you're like, man, I'm going to have to pull that weed again someday. And then you just pour some Roundup on it and call it good. But if you don't deal with the root problem, the sinful nature in your flesh that you battle with, that I battle with, it's going to continue to keep coming up. And that sinful nature, the lust of the flesh, is what kept coming up and caused wars and fightings amongst them. You and I both have a sinful nature that we have to battle every single day. Anger, bitterness, impatience, sinful thoughts, fighting. And guess what? You're either winning or losing the battle with the flesh every day. Right? That fleshly desire that you battle with every day, that struggle that you have, you're going to battle it, but you're going to have to deal with the root cause of that sinful problem. If you keep picking the fruit, it's not going to deal with the issue. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 15, listen to this. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. You play around with the flesh. You play around with that sinful desire and that nature, and you think it's not going to be a problem. It's not that big a deal. It's just a little lie. It's just, you know, it's just words, and it's just my, and we make excuses for the flesh. But eventually that sin, when it is finished, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You let that sinful nature boil up. You let it take over. You have that sinful thought. Guess what? Your sinful thoughts will create sinful desires in your heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have that sinful thought. That's why you must control your thoughts, control your heart. It creates a sinful desire. Then that sinful desire will become a sinful action. You think about it enough. That's why what you watch, what you listen to, who you spend your time with, it affects you, because it's where you're going in your life. It will affect your actions, and your sinful actions will create sinful habits. And then you get held by the bonds of sin that hold you strong. And then the Bible says, when sin is finished. Say, what does that finished mean? Maybe a relationship, maybe your health, maybe God's will in your life. We must battle the flesh. We must also feed the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, it says this, I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I remember as a teenager, I remember, you know, you battle the flesh, and you're like, God, I want to live for you, but I'm struggling living for you, and I try to battle the flesh. And then at some point, God helped me to see, if I walk in the Spirit, that is the greatest defense against the flesh. You walk with God, and that's the greatest battle, and that's the greatest way to kill and put that Roundup on that flesh and try to kill it off. We're not going to get rid of it, but you walk in the Spirit every day. You spend time with God, and that will help you as you battle the flesh. You feed the Spirit, not the flesh. See, too many times, people are feeding the flesh. And guess what? The world is good at feeding your flesh, isn't it? They love putting the advertisements, and the entertainment industry is built on feeding your flesh. What are commercials for? Why do people spend millions and millions of dollars for commercials on a Super Bowl for some simple ad? Why? Because they think if I can get them to see it, I'll get people to buy it. And the devil's good at that, isn't he? He gives you the advertisement. Oh, I've got to have it. You know, Christmas time comes around. I've got to have it. But if you watch it, you listen to it, you're just feeding the flesh. Instead of feeding the flesh, let's feed the Spirit. Feed the Spirit. Get in God's Word daily. Confess and repent of sin. Say, when that wrong thought comes in your mind, stop right there and say, God, forgive me for that thought. Help me to think right. Confess it and repent of it immediately. Why? Because I don't want to live by the flesh. My flesh is capable of anything. And your flesh is capable of anything. Playing with the flesh is like playing with fire. You think, not a big deal. Remember, in the end, it bringeth forth death. Don't play with the flesh. Ask God and be led by the Spirit. We lose the battle with the flesh. It's because we're not led by the Spirit. That's why starting with God and reading your Bible and submitting to God in prayer, and then throughout your day, saying, God, would you lead every step I take? Would you lead every thought that I think? Would you guide everything that I look at today? Because I don't want to lose the battle with the flesh today. Every day. That's why Paul would say this in the Scriptures, I die daily. What was he? Was he killing himself daily? No, the flesh. Every day that flesh is going to rear itself up and it's coming back at you, and you've got to crucify that flesh every day. Say, God, help my spirit. Help my attitude. Help my thoughts every day. I don't want to lose the battle today. You know, sometimes you win some and you lose some, right? It's a battle. Don't give up the battle with the flesh. Don't let the flesh take over. So number one, how does worldliness creep in our lives if we're fighting the wrong fight? Number two, if we're losing the battle with the flesh. And then number three, if you're making friendship with the world. Look at verse number four tonight, and we'll finish with this point. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, harsh terms. And it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, opposition, hatred with God? Then it says this, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? Is the enemy of God. Guess what? You choose who you love. You choose who you're friends with. You're not forced to love anyone. You're not forced to be friends with anyone. You choose. Kind of like you chose your spouse. You choose your friendships. You choose those things, right? And guess what? You choose your love. And the Bible says if you choose friendship with the world, the Bible says you're the enemy of God. You say, God's my enemy? No. You've chosen to be the enemy of God. If I choose to side with the world, I've chosen to be opposite of God and His Word. How does worldliness creep in our lives when I choose to be a friend of the world? Friendship is this. It's defined as a fondness. Again, how many Christians today have a fondness for the world? In the term of kindness and brotherly love, Christians today are accepting of all kinds of wicked living today. Guess what? If we are choosing to be friends with wicked living that go with the world, then we've chosen to be the enemy of God. That's why it's so important as a Christian that you take your stand on the Word of God, living right and holy. Why? Because I choose to love one or the other. I'm choosing to be friends with one or the other. But many Christians try to do this, right? I want to be friends with both. Now, being a friend of God doesn't mean you hate the world. I hate sin. We hate the devil. I hate the effects of sin. We're to love people, but hate the sin. Amen? We shouldn't make friends with this world and the system that is out there today. The Bible again says, if you're the friend of the world, you are self-proclaiming, you're proclaiming yourself as the enemy of God. So in our life, you say, I would never say I'm the enemy of God, but what about with our actions? What about with our associations? What about with my attitude? Have I chosen to be the friend of the world? Or am I chosen to be the friend of God? Let's make it a little more specific, if you would, please. Making friendship with the world, well, what kind of music are we listening to? Is that God's music or the world's music? What kind of TV shows are we watching? Is that what God would approve of? What kind of people are we spending time with? Too many times Christians, we've chosen to be friends with the world and say, no, I'm not an enemy of God, but our actions may choose opposite. You know, we should not be friends of sin and things in this world. In 2 Timothy, Paul says this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas, who was a Christian, a man of God, serving with Paul, but he forsook him. Why? Because the things of this world, they were shining out there, they were drawing his attention, and eventually he forsook God and the things of God because he loved this present world too much. You know the verses, turn over there if you would, though, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, very familiar verses. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Why? Because you choose who you love, and it's one or the other. You choose who you serve, and it's one or the other. You choose who you follow, it's one or the other. God or the world. It says, "Love not the world." In verse number 16, it says, "For all that is in the world." Look at this, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So my question to you is this, where is your love tonight? Is your love for God and the things of God? Do you have a proper love for God's word? Do you have a love for the house of God and for the things of God? Guess what? The world is constantly trying to steal your love, isn't it? Constantly trying to steal your attention. Constantly trying to get your affection. Calling you over to the other side. As a Christian, you must stand strong and not make friendships with the world. We must be so careful to not make friends with the world. We must love God with all your heart. Love God's word with all your heart. Love souls, but not have a love for the things of this world. To be separate from the world. So in our lives, in our church, is worldliness creeping in? You know this looking at our country, that the worldliness, that sin is not just creeping in, it's like a tidal wave coming into our country. Isn't it? It is just a tidal wave that's coming across. In the last number of years especially, it seems, that is coming to take over. And as a church, as Christians, we must stand strong in the Word of God and not change because the world's changing. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay in God's Word, right? Just because it's accepted by many doesn't mean it's accepted by God. Just because it's popular opinion doesn't mean it is popular and right with God. So in other words, you have to take your stand. You have to pick your side. Do I want to be friends with God or friend with the world? Do I want to be close to God or close to the world? Guess what? You can't be close to both. You have to choose. May it not be in our lives that we let worldliness creep in, but may we constantly in our homes and in our lives be watching and trying to keep the devil away. If you're not constantly checking what is coming across my television, my phone, who's spending time with me, if you're not constantly watching that, guess what happens? The world is creeping in, creeping in, creeping in. We must have our guard up, not lose the battle with the flesh, to not be fighting the wrong fight, and then not to make friendship with the world. May we stay right with our love for God and not let the